Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study also. Will you turn your Bible with me today to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to thank you for watching, and I hope it's a blessing to you. And as I usually do, I recommend that you get a Bible and read the verses with us. Our method of Bible study is that is laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, and where he makes a reference to comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, we believe in comparing Scripture with Scripture to find the truth. Not a private interpretation, but let the Scripture interpret itself. We've been talking to you about the baptism with the Holy Ghost for some time now, and I guess there's some people that think that we're never going to get away from all this, but we're just going to hang in there as long as there's other things that need to be said about it. The reason that I'm taking so long about this is that there are people today who talk about having the baptism of the Holy Ghost and having the evidence by speaking in tongues, and so they seem to think that's all there is to it. In other words, an individual has the baptism and what they call of the Holy Ghost. They speak in some gibberish, they call it speaking in tongues, and that's the end of it. But that's not it at all. It is true that the Lord gave by the Spirit of God. He empowered the apostle to speak in languages they knew nothing about. But they weren't speaking some babbish or some babbling thing. They were speaking a language, and the people understood them in that language. They talked with words, express words that they themselves had never used before. They did it by the power of the Holy Ghost. But that's not the end of it. They were given the power to heal, the power to lay hands on the sick. We're not talking about some con job. We're not talking about psyching somebody out. We're talking about actually healing people. The so-called healers today always do their thing in front of a huge audience and get glory to themselves. Why do they want to do a thing like that? If an individual really had the power to heal and really cared about people that were sick or whatever, there are millions of people today that could be healed, and they wouldn't care less about that. How about all the people they talk about having AIDS? Would they not care to heal them? How about the people in the hospitals? Would they not care to go in the hospitals and lay hands on those people and so forth? And then there's the power to take up serpents. So they fake that. They take up serpents, and, you know, there's always some gimmick involved in that. Like I've spoken before, they don't go out in the woods and find a rattlesnake in the heat of the summer in his own habitat out there and grab him and whatever. Nope. That'd be death. They don't do things like that. And drink any deadly thing and do not harm them, and on and on and on. But you see, there's more to all this than just meets the eye. These people had power to do other things. And one of those things that they had power to do, they had power to suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ had explained to them that they were going to suffer, and they were to endure that suffering. He said, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." And so they had to endure some things, so they had the power to suffer. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And by the way, that's not just born again. That's not just, well, he's a born again Christian. Hath begotten us again. Well, if he begot him again, he must have done it before. I would expect to be able to search in the Bible and find some place that God Almighty begat a nation unto himself, and that nation is a nation of Israelites. They're united in one body, and they're called the Son of God, and different things like that that he begot. Well, he begot them again by Jesus Christ. Verse 2, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, who are kept by the power of God, notice, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, if they fell from the faith, if they denied the faith, then the power of God wouldn't keep them. Notice in Hebrews, and in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, notice verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, condition, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end. In other words, God would keep them by his power as long as they believed. Come down to verse 14. For we made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Notice down in verse 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they shall not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. What is the sin? It's the sin of unbelief. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, so forth and so on. Turn please back to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If they deny the Lord, then the power doesn't keep them. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, in other words, their faith was going to be tried. The issue with us is not the trial of our faith. The issue with us is that our works are going to be tried. If I were to put on the board up here and I say, okay, this is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ up here. Jesus Christ went to Calvary, and Jesus Christ endured. Jesus Christ by faith went to Calvary, and by faith he died. And the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 3 that we are righteous by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in. We are righteous by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ endured to the end. The Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 2, I believe it's about verse 16, that we're justified by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ endured the shame. He endured the reproach. He endured the suffering. And he endured unto death, believing that God would raise him from the dead. God delivered him from death, as in Hebrews chapter 5. God didn't deliver him from dying. God delivered him from death, the state of death. Jesus Christ died at Calvary, went into death, and was raised from the death. Jesus Christ endured. Now, let's just say that over here represents the church, which is the body of Christ. The church, which is the body of Christ, is made up of people that look back to Calvary by faith and believe that Jesus Christ bore their sins. The Bible said God made him to be sin for us, him who knew sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ became sin, and God judged our sin on his son on Calvary. And Jesus Christ bore the reproach. He bore the shame. He suffered the pain and the misery, and he suffered the death. So we look back to Calvary, and we trust that the Lord endured. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ endured. And so we believe. We trust the Lord. We turn our salvation over to him, believing that he paid for our sins, believing that he died in our stead, believing that God Almighty raised him from the dead, and that we're justified through his resurrection, and so forth and so on. But not so with these people that that Peter's writing to on here. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, notice, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's not true of anybody listening to my voice today. There isn't anybody listening to my voice today that the trial of your faith enduring is going to bring about the salvation of your soul any more than it would my cat. I say that's sarcastic. Call it anything you like. Salvation is by that which is already finished. You see, our salvation is complete in Christ. We look back to the finished product. God Almighty did everything that needs to be done in the death, the burial, the resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all finished. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Say, well, what if we believe in Him but then we doubt? Turn, please, to 2 Timothy. I look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. That's not conditional whatsoever. In other words, if we died with Jesus Christ at Calvary, in that He died in our stead, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust the Lord Jesus Christ, turn your case over to Him, then that places you at Calvary. And it is your sin that was judged at Calvary. So if we died with the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall live with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, you can fight it and you can wrestle with it till hell freezes over, but you can't get around it. If we died with Jesus Christ at Calvary, we shall live with Him. There is no getting around it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now again, verse 11, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. In other words, we are guaranteed a resurrection. We are assured, no doubt about it, if we died and was buried and resurrected in Christ at Calvary, we'll live with Christ, but we are not guaranteed to reign with Him. That's based upon your suffering for Him in this life. And then verse 13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithfully, cannot deny Himself. Isn't that something? If you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God Almighty is going to save you. Now, that's a fact. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you believe on Christ, trust Him that He died for your sins at Calvary and that God raised Him from the dead, then God makes it a finished product. It's a done deal right then and there. No getting around it. Say, well, how about if later on I turn away from the Lord and I, as they say, backslide? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithfully, cannot deny Himself. You see, there was something took place that was so unique at Calvary that when Jesus Christ died, God saw you dying. When Jesus Christ was put in the tomb, God saw you being put in the tomb. And when Jesus Christ was quickened, God saw you being quickened. It is so unique that we have ascended up. We have been quickened together with Him, ascended up with Him, and are seated with Him right now. And when Christ, which is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. There's no getting around that. If we believe not, He abideth faithfully, cannot deny Himself. In other words, God cannot deny the justification that took place at Calvary. Turn, please, to Romans. And look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I have no respect at all for some so-called preacher that would preach a doctrine to you, making you believe that you can trust Jesus Christ today and lose your salvation next week if you committed some sin. That's ridiculous. That's a denial of the work of Almighty God, and it's a denial of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have no respect at all for a preacher. Doesn't make any difference who he is. Say, but he's a great man. In your eyes, he is. He isn't a great man in God's eyes. He's denying the Lord. And he's teaching people to do so. And that's of the devil. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. But can't get around it. God Almighty chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and we were assured eternal life based upon that fact. And those that God chose in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world are those that he foreknew would believe the doctrine. They're those that he knew would trust his Son. And therefore, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, God justified all those that he chose. God justified all those that he did foreknow. And they are now predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You can't lose it. You couldn't earn it, and you can't lose it. Whatever it is. Now back in 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor, and so forth. In other words, they that endure unto the end, according to the passage, shall be saved. Therefore, they were given power to suffer. Notice in chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Verse 21, even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Hence he said, take up your cross and follow me. The idea was, you know, one of the people came and they said, what's the possibility? A woman said, I bought my two sons. I want you to promise me that they'll sit on my right hand in my kingdom. And Jesus Christ said, in effect, can they be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? In other words, can they go to a cross and suffer the reproach that's going to be put upon me and die the shameful death that I'm going to die as a criminal? Can they do that? And she said, in effect, they can. And he said, it's a fact that they're going to do that. But to promise them that they will reign at my right hand is for my Father to do, not me. These men, these 12 men, were told, you're going to suffer. And he that endureth to the end, the same should be saved. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Verse 11. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified before the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Notice in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, the people that Peter's writing to in the passage are going through the tribulation. The rapture come here, the tribulation over here, and the second coming here, and they must endure unto the end. The salvation that is to be revealed at that time, they have to endure the tribulation. And so, they were empowered that they might do this. They were martyrs. Turn in your Bible to Matthew and look in Matthew 24. The context of Matthew chapter 24 is the tribulation. In Matthew 24, notice in verse 10, And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Notice in Luke chapter 12, in Luke chapter 12, in Luke 12, notice in verse 8, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. These people became martyrs, and they suffered. They were given power to suffer. They were given power to endure. Look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, and notice in verse 12. John 1, we'll start in verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. Turn in your Bible, please. In other words, they were not only given the power to suffer, they were given the power to become sons of God. Look in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16, and notice in verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profit if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? You'd have to compare that with 1 Peter chapter 1, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Turn in your Bible, please, to Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, these people got salvation through death. They got salvation by dying a martyr's death. In Revelation chapter 2, and notice in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. They had to overcome. Look in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Why, he said, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died. These people were given the power to endure unto death. They were given the power to suffer a martyr's death. Why, how do you think those people endured in the first century back there when the thousands of them were burned at the stake? One old man, they're tying him to the stake there, and they've got his hands tied up there, and they're putting the things around him there to burn him and so forth, and they're saying, deny the Lord, deny the Lord. Recant. And so at that old man said, these 80 some odd years, he's loved me and he never denied me. How could I deny him now? In effect, go ahead, put the light the thing. These people were fed to the lions. They were put in bags with rattlesnakes in there and tied up, and they suffered all kinds of ungodly things. But they were given the power to endure unto the death. They loved not their lives unto the death. Hence, they were prophesied, and there'll be some in the future this is going to happen to. They'll be offered the mark of the beast, and they'll refuse the mark of the beast. They'll get their heads cut off. They'll say, in effect, I'd rather have my head cut off than to take that mark, because if I take that mark, I'm doomed. I'm gone. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. No wonder Jesus Christ said to them in Luke chapter 12. Consider the birds. They don't work and God feeds them. You're worth more than they. Consider the lilies. They don't toil and God clothes them. You're more than they. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. You take thought for your life. Everybody listen to my voice. You take thought for what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. You take thought for what next week's going to bring. You take thought for the bills that you're going to pay, and on and on and on. They were told not to do it. They were to be like the birds and trust the Lord, but that isn't all. Excuse me. The Lord said to them, sell out everything you got and give it to the poor and come follow me. And they did it. But you're not supposed to do it. Those people ended up martyrs. They died martyrs' deaths. And as such, they'll be resurrected. Have eternal life in resurrection. Turn to Luke and look in Luke chapter 20. In Luke chapter 20. In this particular case, there is a woman that married the first of seven brothers. And he died, and she took the next one. He died, and on. And verse 32, last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which should be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage. And people put the emphasis on that today. Well, there'll be no marriage in heaven, you know, all that kind of business. That's not what he's getting at. Verse 36, neither can they die any more. They're equal unto the angels and are the children of God. Are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. You couldn't miss that if you tried. In other words, those people can have eternal life in resurrection. He that endureth the end, the same shall be saved. If they endured suffering and shame and reproach unto death, love not their lives unto the death, they would be resurrected unto eternal life. And I suspect that's the truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, never deny him, hang in there, endure it unto the end, the same should be saved, saved from death, as Jesus Christ was. He prayed that God would save him from death, not save him from dying. He said, "This for this purpose that I came into the world." And so he went to Calvary and died. He was praying and looking forward to God saving him by resurrection from the dead. These people were given power to live, and they were given power to die. You've been given no such power. Jesus Christ endured in your behalf, died for your sins, and God raised him from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.